a rash surface.
Yeah, you were there, and then I started putting
translation in bold.
And some of the places I should say, but it's got to be sure.
Lighter.
And I'll show it the way.
That was a good part of my email.
Notes, back button.
All right, so we'll say good morning. Back to Sachin. If you thought that you got an education yesterday, just wait till today. All right, so we'll say. Let's begin. So so today's daf is Kuf Yud Beis. We left off on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, the 112. We left off in the last line of... Actually, no, we left off on the top of Kuf Yud Beis. Good. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, "De mesuchar v'lo mashi yadev." Somebody bloodlets. Rashbam brings down makis dam minak sapayim. They used to bloodlet from the shoulders. Again, fine. Bloodlet from the shoulders. So v'lo mashi yadev, a person doesn't wash his hands afterwards. Mafchid shiva yomi. A person will be afraid for 7 days. So the Gemara goes by to the shakil mazye v'lo mashi yadev. If a person goes ahead and cuts his hair v'lo mashi yadev and does not wash his hands afterwards, mafchid tlasi yomi, he'll be in a state of fear for 3 days. The shakil turfei, if one cuts his nails v'lo mashi yadev and does not wash his hands, mafchid chad yoma, he'll be afraid for 1 day v'lo yada mai kamafchid. But yet he won't be sure, meaning it puts a person in a state of anxiety, and a person will not necessarily realize why it is that they're in that particular state of anxiety. I mean, just do me a favor, move that Kimar, just be careful with this thing over here. So interesting enough, just Yishan Amos, the Marsha comments on this, and he says that if you look at all of these things, what all of these things represent is a certain removal of one's vitality. Bloodletting obviously is letting blood out of the body. Hair represents, again, at least for some who have it, it's a representation ultimately, again, of their personal vanity. And ultimately, nails also represents ongoing growth in the body. So this idea that when one is sapped of their vitality, it creates a certain amount of anxiety. It's actually also, this is actually the minhag, that after a person gets a haircut, a person washes. After a person goes ahead and cuts their nails, a person washes. Bloodletting is not as common today, but that's just so you understand, these practices did actually make their way into halacha. So he goes on. So the Gemara says, "Mafkid chayyoma." Okay, v'lo mashi yadei mafkid chayyoma v'lo yode ma'ika mafkid. So the Gemara goes on, "Yoda a usya." If a person look at Rashbam, "Yoda usya sherogi lahaniach yado eitzel al svaso eitzel nechira." If a person regularly puts his hand on his upper lip opposite his nostrils, so what happens? Darga lepachto. It leads one to anxiety. Yoda afusa. If a person puts his hand on his forehead, darga lishinsa, it leads one to become sleepy, to become tired. Tana, ochlin umach tovosa. Again, like I said, I have to give you the caveat. I have to give you the caveat. And of course, the caveat is there is, like I said, there's a deeper understanding of all of these things beyond the scope of our ability to do within 43 minutes in the morning. But you'll do your homework on it. So the Gemara goes weiter. Tana. Ochlin umashkin tachas hamita. If a person puts food or drinks underneath their bed, afilu mechupin bikli barzel, even if they're in an iron box, ruach ra shor alein, a bad spirit rests upon them. Well, this is also a lemaisa practice. We don't put food under the bed. Now, interestingly enough, this ruach ra is a different issue, actually, because remember, this has to do with the fact that sleep is 1/60th of death. And therefore, again, death, that's why we wash in the morning. Death brings its own ruach ra. And therefore, again, there's a din, not to put any kind of food underneath one's bed. Tan Rabbanan, lo yishta adamayim lo b'leile revios, v'lo b'leile shabbosos. A person should not drink water on Tuesday nights and on Friday nights. Now, we'll discuss why those nights. We'll discuss it later on. So the Gemara says, now, the reason, I'll tell you the reason, and then we'll see why those nights. If you look at the Rashbam qualifies over here, and it says, "Blei l'revios below ner." This is talking about without light. So meaning if a person wakes up in the middle of the night, they shouldn't go and take a drink without first kindling a light. So this is going back now to shadim. Ve'im shasa damal barosho, and if you did drink, your blood is on your head, mifnei sakana, because you placed yourself in danger. My sakana, what's the sakana? Ruach ro. The sakana is some kind of negative spirit. Again, we'll see its shadim later on. Vimtsochi maitakante. But what do you do if you're thirsty? Oh, thank you. So our shir today is dedicated to Ili Nishmas Sheldon Berman, whose first yahrzeit is being observed today. Shmuel Yoel Ben Shalom Tuvia. And we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah. Thank you. So he goes on. What do you do if you get thirsty? So Neima Shiva Kolos Sha'amar David Alamai. So what you should do is you should recite the capital Tehillim Choftes. Right? So we say this every Shabbos. So what does it say? Kol Hashem Al Hamayim, Kel HaKavod Hirim Hashem Amayim Rabim. Literally, the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on the water. So you should say these seven psukim, Kol Hashem Al Hamayim, Ela Kavod Hirim Hashem Amayim Rabim, Kol Hashem Bakoach, Kol Hashem Bahadar, Kol Hashem Shover Arozim, Vayishaber Hashem Es Arzi Halavonon, Kol Hashem Chotzi Lavos Ish, Kol Hashem Yachal Midbar, Yochil Hashem Midbar Kodesh, Kol Hashem Yochol Ayolos, Vayechasov Yaros, Vayechalo Kulo Omer Kavod. You better really be thirsty. Okay, so if you need to go ahead and take a drink, you should say those seven psukim. So the Gemara goes on. V'ilo, but what if Kemini, let's say I don't know those seven psukim. So the Gemara says, Neima Hachi, this is what you should say. Lul, Shafon, Anigron, Ani Radfin, Ben Kochavi Yasivna, Ben Beli'i Shemini Azilna. So you should say these words. You should say these words of Lul here. If you look at the Rashbam, he says, Lul Shafan Anigron Lachashu. So this is some kind of statement that is made to combat the Shadim. So the first four words are not normally translatable. Lul Shafan Anigron and therefore whatever that means. Bein Kochavi Asivna, I sit between the stars. Bein Bli'i Shamini Azona, I walk between fat people and I walk between thin people. What does that mean? So Rashbam points out that that's a way of telling the Shadim, go pick on someone else. There are a lot of people in the world to pick on. Leave me alone and let me drink my water. V'ilo, and if I can't say this, let's say I don't know this particular statement. V'ilo, i'i, but in ishbahadei, if there's someone else who's with me in my house, then what? Nisare v'leimale. I should wake him up and I should say the following. Planya bar planso. I should say his name. You know, Reuven ben Yaakov. Reuven ben Leah. Sachina Maya, I'm thirsty for water. Vahadir Nishte, and then after you say that, you could drink. So Rashbam points out, because remember, as we've seen, Shadim are only harmful when a person is alone. When a person is with someone else, the Shadim are not harmful. So by waking someone else up and calling out their name, it's indicative to the Shadim that I'm not alone. You might have greater danger from the person you woke up than the Shadim. But okay, that's a separate, you have to leverage your risk. So however, V'ilo, but if you can't do this, then Mekarkash Nekasma Achatzba. Rattle the lid of the barrel, because again, the noise itself potentially drives away the shade. Vahadar Nishti, and then you could drink. V'ilo, and if you can't do this, Nishade Ba Midi Vahadar Nishti. Throw something into the water, which also creates a little bit of a commotion, and then you could drink afterwards. Okay. Tan Rabbanon. Lo Yishta Adam Mayim Lomina Naros Velomina Gomim Balaila. A person should not drink water from rivers or from ponds at night. Again, another concern about Shadim. So he goes on, V'im Shasa Dama Barosho. And if you went ahead and you drank, then your blood is on your head. Why Mipnei Sakana? My Sakana, what's the Sakana? Sakonas Shavriri. It's a Sakana of Shavriri. Look at the Rashbam. He says, Sanverim, blindness. Blindness. The Chaz Shom could lead a person to blindness. But if you're thirsty, what do? If there's someone else with you, you should say to the person, Planya bar planso, Sachina Maya. Again, call out his name. So and so, the son of so and so. I'm thirsty for water. V'ilo. And again, apparently that fact that I'm not alone hopefully saves me from some kind of danger. V'ilo. And if that doesn't work, Neima Ihul and Afshe, let him say to himself, Planya Amra Li Imi is Daher Mishavriri. So if I'm alone, what do I say? I speak to myself. And I say to myself, Planya, I refer to myself, my name, right? Shmuel, my mother told me, be careful from Shavriri. And then I say, Shariri, beriri, riri, yiri, ri, tzachina maya. I'm thirsty for water. Bekasi chiyuri, in new earthenware cups. Okay. So we'll say now the Gemara goes back. Don't worry, we're not going back to normal Gemara just yet. There's more to be said. Remember again, he's quoting this statement from the Mishnah, that the Mishnah said everybody has to drink four cups, even a pauper. Even a pauper, and even a pauper who is supported from the Tamchui. Remember, the Tamchui is the collection plate. That represents the tzedakah. Remember, there were different forms of tzedakah depending on your need. So the Tamchui was for those ultimately who would, who were in such dire need that they didn't even have two meals worth of food in their home. So even if you're being supported from the Tamchui, you still have to go ahead and get money for Dalet Kosos. Pshita. So the Gemara says, that's obvious. We'll say, we're going to get into a very fascinating sugya. We're going to mention it now, then we're going to go back to Shadim for a little bit, and then we're going to come back to the sugya. But this is a fascinating sugya. So the Gemara says, it's obvious. What's the Chiddush? Meaning, if the Mishnah already told me that everybody has an obligation for Dalet Kosos, so of course, even if somebody is destitute and poor, of course, the community is going to help the individual. What's the Chiddush? So the Gemara says, no. Lo nitzricha ela afilu l'Rabbi Akiva. This is necessary even according to Rabbi Akiva. What does Rabbi Akiva say? Do Amar Rabbi Akiva, Do Amar Asei Shabbos Chachol va'al titztarich l'brios. Rabbi Akiva will say, hold, better to make your Shabbos into a weekday and don't rely on other people. And we'll say, what does that mean? Obviously, a little bit of hyperbole here. Rabbi Akiva is not telling me, what does that mean? Better to go ahead and do with less and be self-sufficient than to have to rely on anyone for anything. So the Gemara says, so I might have thought that because of Rabbi Akiva's mandate, maybe if you don't have wine for the four cups, and you know what? Better to go figure it out on your own than what? Than to actually ask for help in getting the Dalet Kosos. Rabbi Akiva, you should know, interestingly enough, we're going to see, I'm just whetting your appetite for this, we'll see if Rabbi Akiva actually meant this statement in the realm of mitzvos, or if he meant this statement in the realm of life. Meaning, is Rabbi Akiva saying in general in life, you know what, stand on your own two feet, and even if it means you have to do with less, and even if it means you have to do with a lot less, it's so much better in life to be independent, even if it's more difficult. But maybe when it comes to mitzvahs, Rabbi Akiva would encourage, no, for the importance of a mitzvah, you should. So we'll see that later on. So the Gemara says, Hacham Yishom Pir Sumin Yisa Modi. Hereby, Dalet Kosos, even Rabbi Akiva would agree that if you need to ask, you have to ask. Why? Because there's an element of Pir Sumin Yisa, publicity of the miracle. Tana de Be'elio. Even though Rabbi Akiva said that better to make your Shabbos into a weekday and not have to depend on other people. But Rabbi said everybody should make sure to do something special in their house. The Kavod Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos, meaning even if a person is poor, even if a person is lacking, you always have to have some element of Kavod Shabbos within your home. So the Gemara says, what's an example of something little that you could do in your house, the Kavod Shabbos? So Amara Papa, Kasa de Harnasa. So Kasa de Harnasa is like a fish dish where they used to go ahead and take these little fish and cook it, bread it, and cook it in oil. So again, it was a relatively inexpensive thing. But the Gemara is just saying it could be something additional to Kavod Shabbos. Kidisnan, as we learned, Rabbi Huda ben Tema Omer. So what's Rabbi Huda ben Tema says, Havi az kanamer v'kal kanesher rotz kitzvi v'gibor ka'ari lasos ritzon avicha shavah shamayim. Rabbi Huda ben Tema says, be as bold as a leopard, swift as an eagle, run like a deer, and strong like a lion to do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why is the Gemara quoting this over here? If you look at the Rashbam, Az Kanomer, His Chazek B'mitzvos Yoser Mehayicholus B'yadecha. What does it mean to be as bold as a leopard? It means overextend yourself in the realm of mitzvos. Push yourself to do more. Don't be, the Gemara here is giving the example of Kavod Shabbos. So you have to push yourself, extend yourself, overextend yourself to be able to do something like Kavod Shabbos. But of course, not just the Kavod Shabbos. Be bold like a leopard and overextend yourself in the realm of mitzvos in general. Tana Rabbanan, we'll say, these are amazing Gemaras that we're about to see. I feel like I have to give you that introduction, otherwise you're not going to fully appreciate it. So Tana Rabbanan, Shiva Dvarim Tziva Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Yeshua Beno. Seven things Rabbi Akiva commanded Rabbi Yeshua his son. Rabbi will say, who is Rabbi Yeshua his son? So we've heard, look at the Rashbam. The Rashbam writes, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha is the son of Rabbi Akiva. So you'll say to yourself, well, if he's the son of Rabbi Akiva, why isn't he Rabbi Yeshua ben Akiva ben Rabbi Akiva? Listen to this. The Rashbam says, who ben Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva kereachai. Rabbi Akiva was bald. Kidan rinu b'meseches b'choros. Kol chach me Yisrael domo l'varav kiplipas hashum. Chutz min ha-karach hazeh. So we'll say, so therefore he was known as Karcha. He was known as the bold one. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha is the son of Rabbi Akiva. Amazing. So Rabbi Akiva told seven things to his son. Number one, Bini, al tishe begova shalir, v'tishne. Don't sit in the highest point of the city and learn. Why? The Rashbam points out, because what happens in the highest point of the city? You have the best view. There's a lot of tourist traffic. Because a lot of tourist traffic, you're not going to be able to learn in peace. There are constantly going to be people, it's going to be people who are disturbing you. He says, so al tishe begova shalir, v'tishne. Va'al tidor be'ir, sherashel tamidi chacham. It's interesting. Don't live in a city where the heads of the city are Torah scholars. So why is that? So Rashbam points out something very interesting. He says, "Al tido b'yisroshet am dichachamim, the Torah b'girsa, the Torah b'mila d'tzibur." Because what can happen? So number one, it could be because if Tamid Dichacham are running the show, they're going to be too involved with their learning, and what's going to happen? The trash is not going to get picked up, right? Or the snow is not going to get removed. I mean, they may forget to take care of just the mundane things. Interestingly enough, the Ben Yehoyada writes that there's another reason for this. That if you live in a city where Tamidi Chacham are leading it, what's going to happen? Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, they're going to conscript you to help them out as well. And if you are forced, there is no greater impediment to one's Torah learning than being in a leadership position and taking care of the needs of the community, because then all the needs really come before any of your own, and you're going to lose out on virtually all of your time to learn. He goes on, Al tikonis lebeisecha pit'om. Don't walk into your house unannounced. We'll say, by the way, just so you should know, that's also lemaisa. That's also lemaisa. That is actually brought down in Shulchan Aruch that a person shouldn't even walk into their own home unannounced. Rather, a person should always go ahead, knock, say, announce that they're coming in. Why is that? The Rashbam says, Al tikonis lebeischa pitom, ela hashame es kolcha lohem, koldem boecha, dilma avdi milsa ditznusa. Because maybe somebody is doing something for which they need a little bit of privacy, and therefore it's not appropriate to walk in, even to your own home, unannounced. Interestingly enough, the Rashbam goes on and he says, where do we know this from? We learn this ultimately from the Kohen Gadol, because the Kohen Gadol had pa'amonim, he had bells on the bottom of his clothing to be able to announce his arrival, so to speak, within the mikdash. So he says, V'kol shikein lebeis chavercha. So if you can't walk into your own home unannounced, all the more so what? You cannot walk into your friend's home unannounced. V'altimna minalai miraglecha. Make sure to never walk around without shoes. So the Rashbam points out, it's considered to be a degradation for a Talmud Chacham to walk around without shoes. Hashkim ve'echo, make sure to always eat early in the day. Eat early in the day. Bekayitz mipnei achama, in the summertime because of the heat. Ubechorif mipnei atzina, and in the wintertime because of the cold. Meaning what Rabbi Kiva was telling his son was, keep up your strength. Keep up your strength. So eat early in the day. This way, again, you'll be strong and you'll be able to withstand whatever the temperature issues may be or seasonal issues may be. And lastly, v'asi Shabbos chachol, make your Shabbos into a weekday, v'al titztarich lebrios. And ultimately, don't rely on other people. Now, also you have to also understand something, that for Rabbi Akiva to say this, it's very poignant. Why? Rabbi Akiva married the daughter of the wealthiest man, right, within the Jewish people, a man by the name of Kalba Savua, and his father-in-law cut him off, because remember, he was an ignorant shepherd. And Rabbi Akiva was a self-made man. He was a self-made man in his learning. He was a self-made man in his own personal support, and he relied on absolutely no one. He relied on his wife. His wife relied on him, and it was them against the world. And they made it. An incredible amount of difficulty and hardship, and they made it. And so he tells his son, trust me when I tell you, if you want to be successful in life, stand on your own two feet. And lastly, he says, and try to partner with someone who is doing well in life. Meaning that if you see someone who is successful, That means that they have good mazel. Try to get into whatever they're getting into. So he says, Amar Papa, lo lemizba minev lo lezabunile, elemi avet shutfas padis. Rav Papa says, it doesn't mean to purchase or to sell to this person, but rather it means to actually enter into partnership with this person. V'hasha da Amar Rav Shlomo bar Yitzchak, mai dichsiv, ma'ase yadav, birchas kalenotel pruta me'iov, misbarich. But after we saw the pasuk in Iov, where the Gemara Darshan, that ultimately anyone who went ahead and took a pruta from Iov was blessed, because at one point in time, of course, we know Iov was wildly successful, and anyone who somehow either bought or sold from Iov shared in that success. Even what? Even to go ahead and buy and sell from someone who was enjoying success in life is a good segula for mazel itself. Fine. Well, so I'll tell you, I'm just always overwhelmed by Gemaras like this, because to see the lessons that a father imparts to a child, like these are the five things. I don't know when Rabbi Akiva said this to his son, but chances are fathers usually relay this kind of information to their children as their life is living again. And so to see from Rabbi Akiva, a father, the important ideas and ideals in life that he conveys to his child are quite amazing. So Gemara goes weiter. Chamisha dvarim tziva Rabbi Akiva es Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. There are five things that Rabbi Akiva commanded Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, when Rabbi Akiva was incarcerated in Jarbo. So remember, Rabbi Akiva was imprisoned under Hadrianic persecution because he taught Torah in public. He taught Torah in public, and therefore he was in prison. And ultimately, Rabbi Akiva is executed by the Romans. So what happens? So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said the following. Amarlo, Rabbi Landini Torah. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi, teach me Torah. Teach me Torah. Amar eini milamdecha. Rabbi Akiva said no. Now why did Rabbi Akiva say no? Because Rabbi Akiva was concerned that if he were to teach Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Torah, what's going to happen? Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is going to get in prison. Meaning Rabbi Akiva is already in prison. It's not going to get any worse for him. But he was concerned again that Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, is going to get thrown in. See, he refused to teach him Torah. Amar lo, Rabbi, lamdeini Torah. Rabbi, you better teach me Torah. And what happens? Amar lo, im eina tamar lamdeini, if you don't teach me, ani omer lo yochai abba umosrecha lemalchus. So he threatens his Rebbe. Again, as you have all said, it's an exaggeration. So if you don't teach me Torah, I'm going to tell my father and he's going to report you to the government. Shkoyach, in case you haven't seen already. I'm sitting here in a Roman prison. There's not much more you can do. See, what Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was expressing a frustration. He wants his Rebbe to teach him Torah. So what happens? Amar lo b'ni, yoser mimasha ego rotzel yonek. Para wrote Silahanik. Listen to this beautiful line. Rabbi Akiva says, you don't understand, my dear Talmud. More than the calf wants to suckle, the cow wants to nurse. Meaning, it's painful if the cow does not express its milk. So Rabbi Akiva says, you don't understand. There's nothing more that I want than to teach you Torah. But I can't, because I don't want to put you in mortal danger. Amar lo. So listen to what Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says back. This is amazing. Umi besakana. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi, that's a very nice mashal, but you know what? Although you might be in pain, the mother's in pain, but it's the calf who's in mortal danger if the calf is not fed. So you might be in pain because you want to teach and you can't. I'm in sakana if I don't learn Torah. Just amazing, just absolutely amazing. So he says to him, Amar lo, he gives him a first lesson, and it's interesting, the lesson is almost like in code. In Bekashta Lechanik, if you want to hang yourself, okay, doesn't sound right at first, but if you want to hang yourself, literally if you want to strangle yourself, Hitale Be'ilan Godol, then hang yourself on a tall tree. So what does that mean? Look at the Rashbam. So Rashbam says, In Bekashta Lechanik, Hitale Be'at Godol, Lomar Davar Shishma Lebrios, Vikal Mimcha, Umishum Denokat Lishna Dechanika, Noktu Haitale Be'ilan, Lomad Bifnei Rav, Va'amar Bishma Osa Mishmo. If you want to hang high, meaning which is a euphemism, if you want to be someone whose teachings are accepted and known by the masses, hang yourself on a tall tree, which means make sure to learn Torah from someone great. Because Ganabosai, remember, for us it's different, because for us we could go ahead and get so much Torah knowledge from print Right? Technically speaking, I can become a great Talmud Chacham without even having a Rebbe. I might not become a good Jew because you need a Rebbe, but I could become a great Talmud Chacham in the days of Torah Shabbat and Torah. So again, you want to be someone who's accomplished in Torah. Hang yourself on a tall tree. Make sure that you learn by a great Rebbe. And when you teach your child Torah, Lamdeu b'sefer mugah. Go ahead and teach him from a corrected book. Now, what does that mean? Ma'hi. Amar Rav Yitim Rav Sharshia. Becharata. Becharata means a new one. A new one. Now, what does that mean? That what they're saying over here is when you teach your child, make sure that whoever's teaching your child, whether it's you or someone else, knows their stuff. Because if you teach a child something and it's false, what happens? That falsehood becomes embedded. See, both say, part of the beauty we saw this in Pirkei Avos, Elisha ben Avuya says this, that Kishalom Etinok, when one learns as a child, Lamahu Domer, what does he compare to? Lidyo al Niyar Chadash, like ink on a new piece of parchment. So the beautiful part about learning when you're a child is that you have a tabula rasa, you're a blank slate. So whatever you learn really becomes embedded. That's why some of the best lessons we remember are the lessons we learned as kids. I don't remember yesterday, right? But yet, again, what's interesting is there are certain things I remember from my childhood. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon Yochai, when you teach your child, make sure the text that you're teaching him from is correct. Because if it's flawed, that flaw is going to be embedded in his childish, in his child identity, in his childish knowledge. He goes on, because a mistake, once it goes up, it's up. Meaning, once it's learned, it's very hard to reverse a mistake. I will say, just an incredible yisod in general, in chinuch, not just in knowledge, but how we parent as well. You know, sometimes, parents also grow as they parent. We also learn as we mature as parents. We have to understand that very often the example that we set for our children, sometimes the great difficulty is, you know, we tell our children one message, but then we change. They want to change the message. That's very nice. But if I brought my children up with a particular message, just because I changed and I want to do something different, I can't expect my children to suddenly change because they were receiving a different parental message all of those years. So it's very important to be vigilant with the message that is being conveyed from the beginning. A person has to realize that even though I might not be on a certain level, I have to give my children the message for the level I want to be on, even if it's not the level that I'm currently on. Although I have to be careful that I don't become hypocritical in that, because the message that I give them now is the message that they're going to take with them through life. He goes on. Furthermore, lo tevashal b'keder shebishal b'chavercha. Don't cook in the pot that your friend cooked in. Now, this is a euphemism as well, the Gemara says. Ma'inihu, what does that refer to? Rusha b'chaye bala. A divorced woman while her husband is alive. So what Rabbi Givus and Rishon Bayochai is, don't marry a divorced woman while her ex-husband is still alive. That's the euphemism. Don't cook in the pot that your friend cooked in. So the Gemara says, why is that? So the Gemara says, Da'amar mar, gorush shenasa gurusha. If a divorced man marries a divorced woman, arba deos b'mita. There are four people in bed. What does that mean? That again, he's talking over here in the intimate relationship. It's only natural if a person has been married before that what's going to happen? As they're intimate with their current spouse, they compare that experience to their previous spouse. And if it turns out that the experiences don't measure up to each other, that creates discord within a marriage. So two people go into bed and four people are really there. Vibay say, ma'afila ba'amana. Maybe the advice even applies to a widow. That maybe one shouldn't marry a widow. Why? Because not all fingers are equal. Now again, so Rashbam points out another euphemism over here. The finger over here, Aver Tashmish, refers to ultimately the male member. What is he saying? That ultimately what's going to happen, that it could be that the woman's second husband is not going to be able to please her in the way that her first husband did. And ultimately it creates just a sense of discord within a marriage. Okay. Mitzvah beguf gadol. If you want to do a mitzvah that pays great rewards, ochel peiros velo schar. You should eat the fruit and not get repaid. Now we'll see this actually when we get to the babas later on. This is fascinating. Fascinating, especially if you're a business person. This is what's called mashkanta de surah. Mashkanta, you know, we'll get later on in Ezu Neshach, way later on, about issues of ribis, of interest. So interestingly enough, in surah, one of the ways in which they used to lend money was Reuven would lend $1,000 for Shimon, and Shimon would give Reuven land, and he would give Reuven the ability to eat the crops of the land for X number of years. And each year would represent a certain diminution in the amount of the loan. It's interesting enough, about the guy who gets the crops virtually always gets the better end of the deal. The Gemara explains why it's not ribis, why it's not. Interest, thank you, for a variety of different reasons. The Gemara just said, if you want to do a mitzvah and also get an incredible payment, this mashkanta, the surah, this surian collateral is a great setup. Mitzvah of a guftar, if a person wants to do a mitzvah and also have a clean body, no se isha v'lo bani. He should marry a woman and have children. Most say, you should understand something. You know, the Gemara says elsewhere, the Gemara says that no matter what your wife does or what she doesn't do, every person has to have incredible akara satov to his wife. Why is that? The Gemara actually talks about even if a woman is exceptionally difficult. Why? Because the Gemara says, because our wives save us from Aveira. What does that mean? That when you're married, you have a permissible outlet for one's sexual desires. So it goes ahead and it gives one a permissible outlet in which, so the Gemara says, if you want to do a mitzvah and also have a clean body, meaning have a permissible outlet for those natural desires, then ultimately get married and have children. Four things Rabbeinu HaKadosh Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi commanded his children. Number one, Al Tadur Bishachnotziv. Don't go ahead and live in Shachnotziv. Why? Mishum de Leitzani Havu. Because there's a lot of Leitzanim. They're makers who live there. And don't go ahead and live there. Umashchulu beLeitzinusa. Because what happens? If you live among makers, what's going to happen? They're going to draw you into their makery. Va'al Teshev Amitas Aramis. Don't sit down on the bed of an Aramean woman. So what does that mean? So some say what it means is it means don't go to sleep without kriyashma, meaning that the Arameans, which means just another word for the Gentile nations, just go to sleep without Shema. So don't sit on a Gentile bed means don't go to sleep like the nations of the world go to sleep. Make sure to say kriyashma before you go to sleep. The Ika da Amri, listen to this, delotinasib giyurta. Others say what it means is you shouldn't marry a convert. Now, why shouldn't you marry a convert? Look at the Rashi Rabbah said, this is so profound. Lo tinasiv giyurta, mishum da aminan giyura ad asara dare, because we say that when it comes to a convert, even 10 generations after they converted, lo tibaze arama ba'ape. Don't make disparaging comments about Gentiles in front of a convert. Why? Because ultimately that's where, so what is the Gemara saying? It's quite fascinating. Maybe better not to marry converts. Why? Because sometimes Jews say insensitive things about those who are not like them. Sometimes Jews just say disparaging things. Be very careful with this. About the Gentiles. So what's going to happen? If you marry a Gentile, if you marry a convert, what's going to happen? You might say something, and you might repeatedly say insensitive things that to you may not even appear insensitive, but to your wife, who ultimately hails from the Gentile nations, may appear very insensitive. And of course, again, it's never a good idea to say something insensitive about your wife's family. Never ends well, right? Clinical tests have shown. But again, all the more so, again, where there is this compounded sensitivity because she was not born among the Jewish people. So therefore, again, Rabbi Yehuda suggests that maybe better to avoid marrying the Giyors. Vika the Amri, others say, no, Aramis Mamish, Umishumasa de Rapapa. Others say, no, what it means when it says, don't sit down on a bed of an Aramean woman. It's literal. And because of the episode of Rav Papa, so we'll say quickly, the Rashbam points out that Rav Papa once lent money to an Aramean woman. And what happens? And he was asking her for a collection. She didn't want to pay. And what happens? Her child had died. She put the child underneath the mattress. She told Rav Papa to sit down. And then she accused Rav Papa of murdering the child. Rav Papa was wanted by the authorities and he had to flee. So because of that, the Gemara says, don't sit on the bed of an Aramean woman. It's very interesting. Don't try to avoid paying taxes. Because maybe the tax collectors will take everything from you. I will say, what does this mean? This doesn't refer to legitimate taxes. What this refers to is that sometimes the tax collectors would try to shake down people for additional taxes. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you know, sometimes it's better to pay the a little bit additional shakedown amount than to try to avoid him, because what's going to happen? Then the tax collector is going to come after you with a fury and may take even more than the shakedown amount. Well, so again, very representative in terms of the circumstances under which the Jew lived. Don't go ahead and stand in front of an ox at a time when it comes up from the swamp. Apparently, again, for whatever the reason, oxen appear to be more enraged when they come up from the swamp. Why? Literally because the Satan dances between his horns, which is another way of saying he's exceptionally dangerous. Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Bishra Shachar B'Yom Yisrael. Rabbi Shmuel says that refers to a black ox during the days of Nisan. Tani Rav Oshia, Machikin Mishortam Chamishimama. You should distance yourself from a short time. A short time is an ox that has never damaged anyone. At least 50 amos. At least, so you can figure out, an amos is about a foot and a half. At least 50 amos. Mishor Muad, but a shore that is Muad, meaning a shore that is already damaged. Kimale Einav. You should distance yourself for as far as the eye can see. Rabbi Meir said that even if the head of the ox is in its trough, meaning even if the ox is feeding, so it doesn't look like it's posing any danger to you, go up to the roof and remove the ladder from the rooftop. In other words, that get out of the way of an ox. Just don't be next to an ox, no matter what. Amarav, Nisha de Tura Hein. It was interesting. Rav said, if you want to know the way in which to go ahead and calm an ox, so just say to it, "Hein, hein." Now I will say, don't try this. Don't try this. We're gonna take Rav's word for it. But apparently, "Hein, hein" is the way that you calm an ox. Nisa da arye. Similarly, the way that you calm a lion is zeze. Nis again. We'll take his word for it. Nisha de gamla. Also, what he's saying is, you know, you see this when people are with animals. There are certain things that they say to animals, like, you know, when you want the animal to go fast, you want the animal to slow down. So apparently, these are the things that have said to the animal, calm the animal. Nisha de gamla. What can you say to the camel? Dodo. Nisha de arva. What do you say? Now, this is literally, what do you say to a boat? Now, also, what this refers to is, when people were rowing, what would you say to get the people to row faster? I guess before, faster. Hilini, hia, hila, hiluk, huya. I guess maybe this was to some kind of chant or some kind of tune, but this is what they would say to get the rowers to row faster. Amar Abaye, or dag v'kos, chamin ubeitzim v'kinam v'vanim, kulan kashal v'var acher. So Abaye says, or means a skin, dag is fish, kos seems to mean a cup, chamin hot water, beitzim eggs, kinam levanim, white lice, right? White lice, all of these things are difficult because they cause tzaras. What is it talking about? Or what is, so we're going to go through each of them. Or what does it mean, skin? Man degoni amashcha ditzala. This refers to one who sleeps on an unfinished hide. Apparently, again, it's unhealthy to sleep on an unfinished hide. Dog, what does the fish refer to? Shibuta biyomidi nisan. So it refers to the shibuta fish during nisan, which apparently is detrimental to one's health. Kos, what does this refer to? Shiur dekas daharnasa. This refers to the leftover fish hash, the leftover fish dish that we spoke about before. Apparently, again, not healthy. Chamin, hot water. Chamimi de chamimi meshadru iluya. If a person bathes in very hot water, apparently, again, it could cause tzaras. Beitzim, we've also seen before that when the Gemara says causing tzaras, it doesn't have to be literally understood as causing tzaras. It means that it has a detrimental, a negative health effect. Beitzim, what does that refer to? Man de midrach aklip, that refers to someone who walks on eggshells. Many of us walk on eggshells, right? But this refers to one who literally walks on eggshells. Apparently, again, it's detrimental to one's health. Kinim levanim, white lice. That's not a dish that David chews, by the way, right? Okay, so kinim levanim. So what does it mean again, the white lice? Man de mechaver levushe, velo notulei tamnia yome, vahadr lavush lon. So the Gemara is saying, vahadr lavush lon. What this refers to is, if one deloused their clothing, it was important, apparently, you had to wait 8 days before resuming to wear the clothing. If you began to wear the clothing within 8 days, the lice would regenerate and ultimately, again, cause a problem again. With a cat, a person should not go in there without shoes. My time, what's the reason? Because again, cats often eat snakes, and when they eat the snake, they leave over little bones, and these little snake bones can get embedded in your foot. If they get embedded in your foot, it's difficult to get it out. And because if the bone gets stuck in your foot, you can't get it out. You could be in danger. Others say, If you have a home that doesn't have a cat in it, lo neil ba inish, a person should not go into it, ba'akara, when it's dark, why? My taima, dila michrach bechiyura velo yado mistakin, because it's dark, there might be snakes there, and because there are snakes, a person could be in sakana. Gimel dvarim tziv rabbi shmab rabbi yosi is rabbi. So there are three things that rabbi shmab rabbi yosi commanded rabbi. Al ta'asemun ba'atzmecha, don't go ahead and blemish yourself, ma'hi, what does that mean? Don't go ahead and get engaged in a legal dispute with three people. Why? Because what's going to happen with three people? Three people could easily gang up on you. They could come to court, and one could claim to be the claimant, and two could claim to be witnesses. So don't get into a dispute with three people. Listen to this advice. Don't stand next to merchandise when you don't have money. Right? What does that mean? That we see this idea, by the way, of not getting a seller's hopes up if you're not really have no intention to buy. So if you have no money and you're window shopping, again, if window shopping is acceptable, that's something else. But if you know you're not going to buy, don't do something that makes you look like a buyer if you're not going to buy. Ishtecha tavla al tizakika laila harishona. When your wife goes to the mikvah, don't be with her on the first night. Now, the Gemara says, "Rabbi Huda, what are we talking about over here?" Ubeida da oraisa. That's not our case. Our case is talking about nida oraisa. Most remember, mida oraisa. A woman is a nida for 7 days, and she could be bleeding those entire 7 days. And that night, she goes to the mikvah. We observe a whole different practice because of zivos. So what he's saying over here is, if you're observing biblical nida, and therefore a woman goes to the mikvah after the night after the seventh day, don't be with her that night if she was bleeding on the seventh day. Why? Because since she bled on that day, she may continue to bleed that night and she would become a zava. And if she becomes a zava, that represents a whole host of other halachic realities. Therefore, if you're doing biblical needles, you should not be with your wife on the night that she comes back from the mikvah. Shlosh again, we'll say it doesn't apply to us because we don't have that system of nida anymore. We observe a much longer period. Shlosh advarim tziv Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Huda es Rabbi. So three things Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Huda commanded Rabbi. Number one, al teiti yichidi b'layla. Don't go out alone at night. Because again, we'll say that's a shady issue. Va'atanmo b'fnei aner arum. Don't stand naked in front of a candle, which is another way of saying that a person should not be naked in a room where there's much light. Va'al tikanis l'merchatz chadash. Don't go into a new bathhouse. Shemati pasach, because the floor might give out. I also remember how they used to construct bathhouses. Mm-hmm. They would have wooden planks on top of a fire. So what would happen? You would have bathhouse tragedies, where what would happen? Floors would give in. Floors would give in. So he gives them an advice. Don't go to any bathhouse until after it's been in existence for 12 months. What does it mean? Don't stand in front of the candle unclothed. Someone who stands in front of a candle and he's unclothed, he's naked, he becomes epileptic. Now, I will say, literally means epileptic. What it means over here, nichpe osik, literally means hunched over. What it means is that a person who would stand unclothed in a room where there was much light took too much pride in his physical appearance, in his body. So ultimately, such a person ultimately becomes bent over, which means that he'll suffer some type of diminution in his physical stature as time goes on. Similarly, one who has relations by the light of the candle, havyon banim nichbim, will also have children who are epileptic. Again, on both sides, someone who has relations in what it's talking about over here is in total light. The halacha is that there has to be a modicum of tznius when a person is with his wife. So again, a person can have relations during the day, but the room has to be somewhat darkened. So if a person goes ahead and ultimately has relations and it's total light, there's no darkening, so ultimately that has an impact on the children. Because we know how children are conceived has a direct impact on the nature of and the quality of the people they are. Tana Rabbanan, we'll have to stop over here. We'll have to stop over here. All right, we're going to start 5 minutes early tomorrow morning. Okay, so we're going to start at 5:55 tomorrow morning to make up just the lost time in this particular Gemara. All right.